Hi, I'm Ray Hager with the Reno Gazette Journal, and welcome to an all-new edition of Nevada Newsmakers. Today's guest is Assemblywoman Sheila Leslie of Reno, a Democrat. She's running for the state Senate, and she has some interesting but troubling things to say about the Millennium Scholarship. And on our pundit panel today, we have Rita Black Prothrow and Jesse Wadhams. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
We have a fearful society right now. What they're afraid of is that what we're going to be passing down to our children is not liberty and freedom, but debt and deficit. That's why you and I have an opportunity right now to change the direction of our country. Government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. We, the people, are the solution. I'm Sharon Engel, and I approve this message.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken, from up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. Let's get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This segment brought to you by the law firm of Kempfer Kroll, with offices in Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is Assemblywoman Sheila Leslie, a Democrat from Reno. And now, Sheila, you're taking on a campaign for the state Senate.
That's right.
Now, I wanted to ask you about your campaign. You're running against Sparks City Councilman Phil Salerno for the seat. Just what are the issues, and what are you trying to say to define the campaign?
Well, I've been walking door to door, as I always do, and certainly what I'm hearing from constituents this campaign cycle is the same as always. Education is at the top of their list. Health care is second on the list. And overriding everything right now, of course, is jobs. People are struggling, especially in that district, and they want to know what government is going to do to help them.
Well, is it the job of a state senator to make jobs for the people of Nevada?
Well, certainly it's the job of every elected representative to respond to the issues that constituents raise, and right now it's all about jobs. So we are constantly looking for ways to promote jobs at the state legislature. In the special session, we did some creative financing. About 8,000 jobs were created through that. We're looking at more incentives for renewables. We passed that in the regular session, and those are starting to bear fruit. We're starting to see some large solar projects come online in the southern part of the state. And then we have an interim committee that is also looking at how can we make Nevada a manufacturing and a transportation hub. We need to take advantage of what we do have in this state to create more job opportunities for our citizens.
Okay, you know, one of the, I guess it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room that nobody's talking about through this campaign cycle, and that's the $3.5 billion deficit Nevada is expected to have next year. Now, $3.5 billion, you can't raise $3.5 billion in taxes.
Right.
Do you think that no matter what happens, more, government services will be cut after this next legislative session?
I think, unfortunately, that's inevitable. And I think we should be talking about it. I think you should be asking every candidate who comes on the show about it. I think we have an obligation to talk about it and explain to the public that the state is looking at a 50% revenue shortfall in the next session. We won't have the stimulus money from Washington. Our sales tax, our gaming tax is slow in recovery. And we are looking at slashing half of the state's general fund. So I think what we're going to have to do is go back and look at the services we're constitutionally mandated to provide. And then there are other services which we all love. One example would be the Millennium Scholarship. Everyone loves that program, but we're not constitutionally mandated to provide it. So programs like that, that may be extremely popular, may definitely be up on the chopping block.
Well, of course, the Millennium Scholarship came about with the pushing of our late and respected Governor Kenny Gwynn. Do you really feel that the Millennium Scholarship may be kaput after this session?
Well, you know, and I love Kenny Gwynn, love the Millennium Scholarship, but if you're looking at slashing 50% out of the state budget, there are things we have to provide. We have to provide prisons. We have to provide at least a minimal funding for K-12 education, and we're going to have to separate the things that we can fund and we have to fund from the things that we all would love to fund, but we're just not going to have the revenue to do it.
So that means the Millennium Scholarship could go away?
It could go away,
okay.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, about this $3.5 billion deficit, the legislature is going to have to do the heavy lifting on this, but of course, both candidates for governor, Democrat Rory Reid, Republican Brian Sandoval, have kind of been ignoring this issue and concentrating more on education. What do you think of the candidate strategy just to kind of leave the biggest problem alone until after the campaign's over?
Well, obviously it's a campaign strategy that they think is going to help them win election. I personally don't think it's fair or right not to talk about the biggest problem the state is funding. I would rather that we be realistic. I think the public knows we're in a terrible situation. They've had to cut out of their own budgets, but I think all of them, to think of cutting their income in half, would understand that's a mega crisis. That's not a mini crisis. And I would like to see more discussion, more realistic discussion about what options the state is facing.
Okay, now I wanted to get your thoughts on the senatorial campaign defeat of Reno's Ty Cobb. As you know, I ask this because a key moment in the campaign is when Ty Cobb was caught kicking in one of your campaign signs, and really that led to his defeat and the victory for Ben Kiekeffer. And I'm just, you know, you played kind of a, you know, a side role in this because it was your sign. What do you think about the whole incident now that it's over?
Well, of course, I think his behavior was inappropriate and wrong. I tried to stay out of it, though, because I didn't want that issue to be about me. I wasn't even running against Ty Cobb. My sign happened to be at that location. But I think the citizens of Reno in that primary made the right choice. And I think, you know, I think it sent a message that we don't want boorish behavior from our candidates, that people who run for elected office, not that we're perfect, none of us are perfect, but we want to have people who are leaders and who don't engage in sophomoric behavior. So I wasn't surprised that people reacted the way they did, and I'm looking forward to working with soon-to-be Senator Kiekeffer.
Okay, Sheila, we have to take a break right now. When we come back, I want to talk to you about this huge problem in Las Vegas that deals with childhood prostitution. We'll be right back with more Nevada Newsmakers after these few messages.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Senior homeowners have been feeling anxious about money lately. The good news is that you can do something about it now with Home Equity Relief. Stop the worry and stay in your home. Find out how much money you can receive every month with a reverse mortgage.
I'm just one of 500,000 seniors that sleeps better at night.
It's true. A government-backed reverse mortgage stops the concern about money and keeps you self-reliant.
After Phil died, my home equity release covered missing Social Security payments and kept me safely in our house. Maybe you should re-examine this government-insured program, too.
Be smart enough to look for yourself. Receive our new information kit when you qualify. Only Comfortable Retirement offers home equity release. The new reverse mortgage program designed for active seniors.
Lock in the cash value of your biggest asset and maintain your independence.
After all your hard work, you're entitled to a comfortable retirement and never having a mortgage payment again.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This segment brought to you by Kempfer Kroll, the law firm to handle your business needs. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Hi, I'm Ray Hager, and welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is Assemblywoman Sheila Leslie, Democrat of Reno, running for the state Senate. Now, Sheila, in the 2009 legislature, the lawmakers passed some of the harshest laws on record for trafficking teenage prostitutes across the nation. Yet the laws that we have past seem to do little. I mean, the U.S. Justice Department has named Las Vegas as the 17 most likely metropolitan area, among the 17 highest, that would top destinations for human trafficking, in this case, childhood prostitution. Recently, the legislature's Child Welfare and Juvenile Justice Committee has taken up the issue. Can you tell me where this stands now?
Sure. As the chair of that interim committee, we just had a work session where we voted on the priorities we're going to take forward to the 2011 session. And child prostitution certainly was an issue that we heard a lot of testimony about. Very difficult issue. We decided to go ahead and recommend that we raise the penalties for pandering of a child prostitute. So we're trying to go after the traffickers themselves and raise the penalties for that.
Okay, but you could put down the death penalty, it seems, and this problem
right.
isn't going to go away. Do you feel that the people, that the pimps and the other people that deal in childhood prostitution even care about the penalties that they face?
I'm not sure that raising the penalty will be very effective at stopping human trafficking, but we have law enforcement working on that. I'm really concerned even more about the treatment for these young women when interdiction does happen, and the juvenile justice system doesn't deal very well with these young women. Judge Voy has an idea, which I think is a good one, but of course we don't have funding for it, which is to provide a safe haven and pretty intensive treatment and counseling for these young women and young men, and try and get them back into a normal lifestyle. It's a very difficult problem.
But you say there's no funding for this?
We're facing a 50% shortfall. Where are we going to get funding
right.
for a new program?
Okay. Now, in the Assembly, you had always been the loyal lieutenant for Speaker Barbara Buckley. Democrats did not always agree in both houses. How do you see yourself working with the Senate caucus, mm-hmm. Democratic caucus, under the tutelage of Senator Horsford?
Right. You know, everything's going to be so different next session with so many new legislators. And mm-hmm. I have a good relationship with Majority Leader Horsford, and I'm looking forward to being part of the Senate caucus, which is going to be completely different next session. I think what I bring to the table is my 12 years of experience in the Assembly. I've been in leadership since my second session. I know the legislative process. And what's different is I think I'll be able to help Senator Horsford a lot because of the relationships I do have with the Assembly. So I think from a Democratic perspective, you're going to see a much closer coordination between the two caucuses than we've ever had before.
Okay, now, if you're elected, you could be the only Democrat in the Senate from Northern Nevada. And your past experience, your love has been with Health and Human Services. Do you see yourself becoming the chairman of the Senate Health and Education Committee? I know it's Valerie Wiener has been the committee ahead on that, but do you see yourself taking that position?
Oh, not necessarily. I mean, I will do whatever Senator Horsford needs me to do. I'm looking for a seat on finance. You know, this is Bernice's seat, and she has a seat on finance. I would like to serve very much on the finance committee because I think I can bring my experience, especially during this budget crisis, best there. And wherever else they need me to serve, I'm happy to serve. But, you know, I'm going to be a freshman senator, even though I have 12 years of experience, and freshmen don't make demands on their caucus leaders. You serve where you're told to serve, and you do the very best you can.
But you say you want a seat on the finance committee. Mm-hmm. What about health and education?
Well, certainly my experience in health would be a natural for me to be on that committee. I would like to serve on that committee, but I certainly have no expectation I'm going to walk in there as a freshman and become the chair.
Okay. Now, recently Nevada was shut out of the race, the funding for the Race to the Top education funding. It probably cost the state $174 million. Do you really think that Nevada realistically had a shot at this money from the get-go?
I think we had to give it a try, and I think under the Chancellor and Elaine Wynn and all the people who worked hard on that application, they did a great job. But I think it's really a collective failure of our state more than I don't think it's the governor's fault necessarily, or certainly not Senator Reid's fault.
Because there was a lot of finger-pointing.
There's finger-pointing this week, but I think it's a collective failure. We fund education in Nevada at the very bottom. And I think Race to the Top was looking for states who are willing to invest in their children's education, willing to be progressive and try new things. And Nevada just does not have a history of that. So I wasn't surprised.
One last question, Sheila. I recently attended the funeral of Governor Kenny Gwynn. I saw Democrats, Catherine Cortez Masto there, Bob Coffin, Dick Bryan. But I was surprised. Why weren't there more Democrats there? Like, I didn't see you there, for example.
Right. I was at work. I have a job, and I have to take time off to do interim committees, and I have no more time I could take off. But certainly Senator Governor Gwynn was a favorite among Democrats. We used to joke all the time with him and say, you know, you're the best Democratic governor we ever had, because he was so invested in education and health and human services. Speaker Buckley, I know, was out of state.
Oh,
so I don't think you should read anything into that.
No disrespect.
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, I would say for most of us, he is our favorite Republican governor just about of all time.
Okay.
We love Kenny Gwynn.
Sheila, thank you for coming on. We'll be right back with our pundit panel. We're going to talk about this Millennium Scholarship issue right after these few messages.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Renovation, a medical spa by Dr. Charles Verdin, offering Restylane and Botox treatments plus a full-service spa. Drift away with a tranquil Swedish massage. Our facials are customized for your specific skin care needs. Rejuvenate the whole body with one of our many body wraps and finish with a professional manicure, pedicure, or makeup application. Renovation, a medical spa. Treatments to refresh your life. 960 Collin Crossing, one block west of McCarran at Plum.
Accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
I think someone at my friend's school has this thing called autism. My friend's brother's son has autism. My neighbor's son has autism. My son has autism.
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Get a jump on today's news every weekday morning. Our team looks forward to the day's events so you know what to expect.
Time to get a jump on today's news. It's a story that's been developing for the...
Wake up with News 4 in the morning to get a jump on the day's news.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to our pundit panel today. Let me introduce first Jesse Waters and Jones Vargas. Welcome to you, Jesse.
Morning, right?
And Verita Black Prothro, business development manager for Nevada Arrhythmia Services. Good to see you both.
Good to see you.
Okay, let's first off, of course, we just had the passing of Governor Gwynn, and Verita, could you maybe just say what you felt when you heard that the governor had passed away?
Well, I was really surprised and so sad. I worked for Senator Ensign when Governor Gwynn was in office, and I'd see him at many events, and he was always so kind. And he was always with Dima. Dima was typically with him. Such a close couple. I can't imagine how devastated she is. It's a huge loss for our state, and for her personally, I can't imagine the pain she's experiencing.
Okay, now, Jesse, I saw your father at the funeral. I know he was a friend of your family's, with, you know,
certainly.
His passing.
He was, a long-standing family friend. You know, my favorite part of Governor Gwynn was that when I was working as a deputy attorney general, we would often, you know, go after work to the Old Globe, and during a session, Governor Gwynn, rather than ride in the limo, would often just walk from the mansion over to the legislative building. And, you know, if you caught him on the right moment and he had a couple extra minutes, you could buy him a Bud Long Neck and have a couple of minutes with him in the Old Globe. And he was, you know, from anybody, from the, you know, from Senator Raggio to, you know, anybody, he would give you your time and sit there and visit with you. He was just one of the best guys around.
Well, I always remembered him as a common man with uncommon values, and as a reporter, I used to like to get him off subject to talk about his college football career at USC and at Fresno State, and he always obliged. Now, I want to move on to another subject. Of course, Farida, you heard Assemblywoman Leslie saying that the Millennium Scholarship could be kaput because of the budget crisis, $3.5 billion deficit we may be facing. What do you think about losing the Millennium Scholarship?
Well, I hope that our legislators will look at every other solution. You know, in Nevada, education has to be more of a priority, and the Millennium Scholarship has given us an opportunity to give so many kids who wouldn't have a chance to attend college that opportunity. So I hope that there are other things that can be cut. Unfortunately, there are a lot of services that will have to be cut, but I hope that that is something that can, some parts of it, even if it's not in its entirety, maybe raise the GPA or do something else, cut the level of funding with it. But I hope that there's some way to maintain that, and also to continue to honor our late governor as well.
Right. Well, it was his idea. Jesse, but we have a $3.5 billion deficit. As Sheila said, that's 50% of the general fund. I mean, how can you keep the Millennium?
You know, it wasn't surprising for me to hear that it's on the table, because it clearly has to be. I think we are looking at 50, like you said, 50% off of the revenues. We're looking at actually a budget of about 2003 levels. There's clearly nothing out there that we're funding that is not possibly on the chopping block, and so it would be my hope that not only can we try to find some kind of solution to honor the late governor and provide that, I think, critical service to give kids of Nevada the opportunity to go to one of our colleges, but my hope also would be that you know, folks in this state will heed what Dima Gwynn said and said, in lieu of flowers, make a donation to that scholarship, and that, you know, we'll see an outpouring of sort of maybe a grassroots support to keep that going as well, because I think it is just a critical component of that higher education system here, and hopefully we can keep kids that, you know, that are going to college staying in Nevada and creating more Nevada jobs.
All right, but you know, the donations aside, I don't think you're going to get up to $3.5 billion.
Yeah, probably not quite $3.5 billion.
Now, Verita, I wanted to bring up a story that appeared in today's Las Vegas Sun by David McGrath Schwartz about the governor's race, and it seems that the
Harry Reid, Sharon Ingalls, U.S. Senate race has kind of sucked all of the media attention away from the governor's race between Rory Reid and Brian Sandoval. It's probably a good thing for Brian Sandoval because he's got a double-digit lead, but without any media attention, how does Rory Reid make up the difference?
Well, I'm not sure, and I'm not sure what would change the dynamic of that at the moment. There's just national attention on that U.S. Senate race.
Okay,
so, I don't know.
Jesse, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's obviously with Senator Reid and Sharon Angle, it is the single biggest race, I think, in probably the country right
now.
I think that the focus is going to be from both from Republicans and Democrats nationwide is going to be on that seat. It's probably the sole focus of national groups. That said, it is very simply sucking the life out of nearly every other race. I think you're not seeing a lot of traction in people talking. I mean, people are talking about the governor's race, but that's sort of at a level less than I think we should be. And that goes all the way down ticket. I mean, we're going to have, as Assemblywoman Leslie said, almost a 50% turnover in the legislature. I mean, there are all of these races are very important, and Nevadans, I think, should, you know, very carefully weigh all these options and really try to engage on all of these races because there are major decisions to be made in the 2011 session.
Okay, we got to cut it right there. Great job by both of you today. We'll be right back with more Nevada Newsmakers right after these few messages.
A couple years ago, Les Schwab saved my 4th of July. My tire had blown out on the freeway. Luckily, the tow truck driver was able to call the manager of a Les Schwab tire center. And while I know this might not happen every day, Bruce Ward arrived and opened the store.
Hi there.
I was so impressed, especially when I found out Bruce left a family barbecue to help.
Happy 4th, Nancy.
If there's such a thing as an award for awesomeness, Bruce deserves a bunch of them. I'm Nancy Schutz, and that's my Les Schwab story.
Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
In 1990, in Severn, Maryland, the daughter of a clergyman was discovered by a music industry insider while pumping gas at a service station. The odds of her getting signed and spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of this former church choir singer going on to sell 40 million records? 1 in 15 million. The odds of the same woman winning 6 Grammy Awards and starring in 2 Broadway plays? 1 in 75 million. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
Are you ready for this?
It's really good.
There's a new network that's home to all your favorite movies and so much more.
That's just fine.
This TV.
You're in capable hands.
Prepare to laugh. Prepare for battle. Prepare to be entertained. This TV. Catch This TV off air 4.2 or digital cable channel 294.
It's the only way to fly.
Thanks for watching today. Remember, you can catch all the shows on NevadaNewsmakers.com. Next week, we're going to have former Washoe County Superintendent of Schools Paul Dugan talking about the losing the race for the top money. And we're going to have an Assemblywoman Debbie Smith from Sparks. She's going to have a lot of juice in the next legislature. Next week on Nevada News.